Open your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm preaching at Luke tonight. The rest of you guys may be listening in, but I'm talking to Luke, and I'm also going to talk to Adam and Colin. All right? So look up and look alert. I got some things to talk about tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, please follow with me as I begin in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I want to talk to you guys about a part of your Christian life that you're missing out on, that many people who were saved when they were older have experienced and that you'll never experience, I trust. You've never had the experience of being saved from a really horrible existence in life. You've never had the experience of being right on the edge and toppling over and every part of your life falling apart and then seeing God turn it all around and rebuild everything. If you're born again and if you're baptized when you're young, you've never had that experience and you're missing something. You won't miss all the sin and all the terrible things that there's no value in them, but you're missing the absolute sense of release, of joy, of being free. You're missing the tremendous change that takes place in your life when everything's ready to fall apart and then the Lord steps in and rebuilds it. You'll never see that. Praise God. You'll never have to see that. But it'll be a problem in your Christian life. Mark it down. You have something, you lack something that older Christians, people who were saved when they were older, have. You lack that anchor, that knowledge of what it used to be and what it now is. I want to talk a little bit about that tonight and talk about what we mean in baptism when we bring you back up from the water. So let's pray and then let's deal with this passage. Oh, Father, I thank you tonight for your word, for all the truth that you want to lay open before us so simply, cause us to appreciate what we've escaped, where we would be, where we could still foul our garments and end up having less than what we could. Bless us, Father. Cause everything that we say and do to be done in Jesus Christ. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. The Bible teaches that sin makes you dirty, both in your relationship to God and even in your own eyes. That sin is like it's decay. It's like cancer. It's like watching fruit decay. And that what happens in this world is that every last thing decays. And that those of us, or I shouldn't say those of us, I was saved when I was younger than you guys. I was saved when I was five. But those people who were saved later in life, they got to watch that decay taking place. They were able to look back and say, this is empty. This is sad. This is sick. I don't want any more of this. And they were able to see where they were going, to get a pretty clear view of what kinds of sin they'd be involved in, because we all get involved in different sins. And they were able to say, I don't want it. And then to watch what happens when their old, rotten life became new again. It's kind of like a fountain of youth, spiritually. All those old, rotten, twisted things, little by little, God made them softer. He cleaned them up. He made them brighter. He made things fit together. All the things that before just seemed so empty and foolish and vain, God now replaced them and put new things in there. And that's a real advantage that you'll never have. I want to talk to you, though, about the fact that the Bible teaches that what you've got happening inside of you now of the Lord is something that you have to build upon. You can't simply say, I'm baptized and I'm all set. You can't look at it to say, I've done what the Lord wants, I've made a public testimony, and I'm all set. That's not how it works. The Bible teaches that even though you're born again, hey, there's a part of you that's dying. There's a part of you that wants to take over. So I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. Let's come to verse 17. Luke's only been saved for a little while, but God says you've spent enough time as a sinner. You haven't spent many years doing it, but God says you spent plenty. Competition? Isn't this interesting? Whenever you get started, something always plucks up that way. Well, let's try to speak over it here. The Bible teaches that God looks at your life and he says, you've wasted enough time doing what you wanted to do. And what God does when he saves you when you're young, he says, I'm going to be more gracious to you than you can imagine. I'm not going to wait until you've ruined a number of years of your life. I'm not going to wait until you've wasted and until you've hurt your testimony in various areas. I'm going to work in your life now so that you'll never have to go through that. The Bible says that an unbeliever builds in his life. He doesn't only watch his life decay, he helps it. He gets more and more involved and more sold on it. When you live in this world, you start to believe the things the world tells you. As you get older, you start to care more and more about what your friends think about you. And you start to listen to what the world says. You start to listen to what you want to do instead of to what God wants to do. And watch the process as it's described here. He says, you shouldn't walk in the futility of mind. Everything that this world tries to do spirals out. It never gets any place. It just gets narrower and narrower and worse and worse. Every time that people walk apart from God, they try to think their way out of it and they don't get any place. Every answer they come up with only causes another set of pain. They ruin their life morally. They get involved sexually or otherwise with somebody before they're married. And so then they have to have a child, and their answer is, well, we'll get married and everything will be all right. Well, it isn't all right, because those sins you committed before you're married affect you. Then they get married and their lives are selfish and they're led for their own and in their own ways. And pretty soon they're talking divorce. And well, I'll get divorced and get remarried and that'll solve it. The kids are growing up in two different homes. And they get bitter and then they try to get defensive about what happened in their life and right and wrong. Hey, these things happen all around us. If you don't have somebody in your family that this has happened to, you're a unique family. If you can't see this process going on. And that's just in the area of relationships and how people destroy things in their life. People spend their whole life trying to get a job, a career that they want. Men in particular seem to be driven to do this. They want to get the kind of job where they can be comfortable and take care of their family, feel that, hey, I can get some respect. And then they get involved in it and they find out that most work situations are a lot of nonsense. All kinds of politics. The people at the top don't deserve to be at the top. The people at the bottom, well, they don't even deserve to be at the bottom sometimes, you know. That things don't work out, that people, that you can work at a business for 30, 40 years, and when it comes time, they'll drop you like a hot potato and move on to somebody else. That people in the business world don't care about you. They only care about themselves and the business. And you spent so much of your life working and putting time into the business, and the business doesn't do anybody any good anyways. And whatever you want to do in this life, it's futile. It's empty. And you can either find out on your own, or you can believe what God says. But it's going to happen. And he says their understanding gets dark because they're farther away from God. They're alienated from God. I'll tell you, the less time you spend with God, the less you understand biblical principles. We spend so much time now in our amusements, in the things that make us happy, in the things that we enjoy doing, but we don't spend time with God. And if you don't spend time with God, I'll tell you, your understanding will get just as dark as an unbeliever's. You'll feel more and more distant from God. You come to church on Sunday, but if you're not walking with God throughout the week, you'll see this process go on in your life. If your time with God is only here at church, if you don't have devotions in the morning, if you're not praying during the day, in the morning and at night, if you're not asking God to show you what life is all about, I'll tell you, you'll come to church after a while, you get to be a teen, and you'll come to church and you'll start to say, what's missing? How come I don't feel anything? And then if you're like most teens, like most humans, not just teens, you'll blame the church. What's wrong with those people anyways? There's no life in that church. There's something, they're not meeting my need. Well, there's only one person who can meet your need. And your understanding has become dark. He's far away. You've alienated from him and your needs aren't getting met. And then what happens is the sins start to pop out in your life. If there's sin inside of you, sooner or later it's going to come out one place or the other. And he says in verse 19, in the end, they're past feeling. You reach a point where you don't have any more feelings for God. You reach a point where if you don't walk with the Lord, and if you don't set your heart straight, and if you don't develop what we're going to talk about in a moment, a true life inside of you, you reach a point where you come to service and you're just not moved. It doesn't touch me. I don't have any more feelings. The Bible says it's like having your conscience seared with a hot iron. When you burn yourself, it's very, very, very tender. But you build up scar over top of it. And pretty soon you can't feel a thing. And the Bible says that the more and more you walk in sin, the less sensitive you are to what your sin is doing. You're more and more insensitive to what the sin is doing to you and how you're hurting other people. And it gets worse and worse and worse. And he says, and they give themselves over to lewdness and to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, praise the Lord, you're too young to understand what that's all about. But I'll tell you, it's pretty rotten. It's pretty rotten. You can end up with a place where pretty soon you'll consider killing yourself. Teens do that, by the way. People don't wait. The group that's most in danger of suicide in the United States is the age group that comes from 19 to 20. It's because they've done everything they can do with their body. And they've used drugs, and they've gotten involved with immorality and drinking, and they've binged and done everything they can do, and there's nothing left. They've spent everything they've got. The Bible says that's a natural process. And maybe some people it takes longer than others, but that's what the natural state of man is. But if you're born again, what God does is he does something that's above and beyond the natural. Let's talk about that. But you have not so learned Christ. That's what we're all about in the church. We don't want you to think that that's a natural thing for a believer. I'm really concerned as a church. We look around, we see people who were part of our church and members, gave a testimony of being born again. And now, if you were to ask which part of this passage fits them, you'd say the first part of the passage. Our message to them ought to be, that's not what we teach about Christ. Those things are not supposed to happen in a believer's life. Believers aren't supposed to feel those things and do those things, and they're not supposed to be on that ride over here. We're supposed to have these things happen in our life. He says, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, because the truth is in Jesus, here's what you do. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man. Verse 23, you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And verse 24, you put on the new man. Let me make this real simple. Maybe for teenage boys, this is all too apt. Let me give you instructions for taking a shower and getting changed. Okay? When our kids were little, we learned that you couldn't be too explicit in the rules for the shower. Rule number one, before you take the shower, you take off your old clothes. All right? You take them off. All right? How many of you have found that that can be a necessary rule? We have absolutely found that. Wasn't our kids, but I remember Tommy Thompson from camp. He went to camp. He was a pastor's son. Went to camp. The whole week at camp, he wore his tight, you know, they used to have those really tight bathing suits. Didn't wear underwear. He wore the really tight bathing suits. All right? So, and he never took them off. He never, again, showers and whatnot, he never took them off. Went in the pool, got out, dried off, walking around, took a shower. I guess he did. I'm not quite so sure. But he did put his pants on, slept in them, everything. By the end of the week, he came home, and boy, was his mom mad, because Dad hadn't noticed. Dad was directing the camp and was plenty busy. Dad didn't notice that his son was walking high in the saddle. You know, his son was walking like this around the place. The rule is, if you're going to take a shower, you got to take off the old stuff. You take off the old clothes. That's the first thing. Then you get in and you clean up. You actually use soap. You use water. Necessary instructions, correct, Anita? She'll tell you. We actually had to say that. I took a shower. Did you use soap? You know, I love it. Kids use the same thing we used to use. They don't want to lie to you, and they go, what am I supposed to think the minute you... soap. Was there soap up there? You know, they answer with a question, You get back up, but I already showered. No. You've got to be renewed, refreshed. That means washing off the old. You took off the old stuff that's on the outside. Now take care of the stuff that's on the inside. The only reason why you take off the clothes is to get to work on the part of you that counts. And then, another key thing, don't put on the old clothes. Put on clean clothes. Now, I will admit that maybe guys are more prone to this than girls. Men are the only creatures on this planet who will actually pick up a pair of socks and do what? Oh, I got a day left on these, you know. All right. Some of you men have probably never done that, but I don't believe it. I've been in the dorms, and almost universally, guys will look at their socks and think, don't have any clean socks. So they start to do the sock hunt. You know, which one? Oh, that one's walking away. I'll let that one go, you know. The rule is you put on clean clothes. That is what has to happen now that you've been baptized. When you're baptized, you're saying two things. Jesus died for me, and I want to show everybody. And when you go down under the water, you're saying that just like Jesus died and was buried for me, I'm going to live the same way. I'm going to act like he died for me. But when we bring you up out of the water, you're saying, I'm going to live a new life. I'm not going to live the way I would have lived otherwise. I'm going to live my life the way I ought to live it. I'm going to live it in God's eyes. And the three steps are right here. You put off the old, you wash up, and you put on something new. That means for the rest of your life, you've got to be looking and saying, what are the things that I got to get rid of? Because you don't have to do anything. Sin will grow up in your life. Things, you'll get involved with things. The way you think, the way you act, the way you behave yourself, you'll constantly be in a battle to say, I've got to get rid of that. I've got to get rid of that. It's old clothes. I've got to get rid of that habit. I don't know a lot about girls. All I know are boy sins, all right? And I know quite a few of those, right? But I can tell you, as a born-again believer, there's a lot of things you'll get involved with that are like dirty clothes that you need to put off, a lot of habits. A lot of things you say, a lot of the way you act, a lot of the things that you enjoy, and you're going to have to look at them and say, I got to get rid of that. But the truth is, you're not getting rid of that habit because that pleases God. You're not getting rid of that speech or rid of that whatever because that's what's important. All you're doing is getting rid of it because it's like old clothes. And until you take the clothes off, you can't wash up what's underneath. God is not as concerned about your habits as he is your heart. He wants to see somebody who continually is renewing their heart, continually is coming to him and saying, what doesn't please you? What can I do here? God wants you to have a spirit to say, there's something brand new inside of me, and I want to see it grow. I want to see it made better. There's something I don't understand. It's called spiritual life. I don't know how I got a hold of it. I guess I'll never fully grasp it, but I want to see that grow. Guys spend a whole lot of their life trying to develop their gifts athletically. You know, they spend a lot of their life trying to find out what sport am I good at. Some find it, some don't. And they spend a lot of time trying to find out. Girls, they gain acceptance in other ways, and they try to find out what their colors are and what hairstyle suits them and different things that way. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it's like they're looking at themselves and saying, there's got to be something I'm good at. There's got to be something that will make me attractive. There's got to be something that will make me successful. Well, I'll tell you, you've been born again now. And there's a part of you that you're going to have to develop and spend more time on than you can spend on anything else. And that's the part of you that knows God and that talks with God and that walks with God. And you have, and washing is just like getting back down to basics again and saying, I want to get right. I want to do what's right. I don't want there to be anything between God and I. I want to look at my life and all these things that are not worthy of Him. I'm not going to do it anymore. For some guys, it's a problem with their mouth. For some guys, it's a problem with anger. For some guys, it's a problem with being pessimistic. They just can't believe that things are going to work out. They just can't believe that they're good enough. For some guys, it'll be a problem with sin and immorality. For others, it's going to be other things. Whatever it is, you get rid of the habits because you want to get down to business for God. Those habits aren't the real point. It's the new spiritual life you're supposed to have. You take off the old stuff and you say, I don't want anything to do with it. You wash yourself. The way you wash yourself, I think the Bible says, is by getting into the Bible. And for yourself, find out what God says. I think as parents, one of the things we really ought to be encouraging our kids to do is to read the Bible. Not enormous amounts, but if our kids aren't reading the Bible outside of church, we're never going to see them grow. And if we're not telling our kids, when you read this book, God will talk to you. I promise you. Whether you listen or not is between you and Him. But if you open up this book, God will talk to you. I recommend to people for devotions, why don't you take a chapter of Proverbs every single day? Read through that chapter till you find something that hits you right between the eyes and stop. If you find it in the first verse, stop there. If you got to go all the way through. Right now, I just finished my two favorite chapters in Proverbs, chapter 16 and 17. And I don't get very far in those chapters in the morning before there's something that God hits me between the eyes and says, you got to do something about that. And that's what the Bible does. The Bible's like soap. It loosens up the dirt. It smooths out the skin. It makes you feel clean. And again, that's a feeling that maybe adults can appreciate more than kids, you know. But I'll tell you something. You got to have that feeling like things are new between you and God. And then you put on the new. I think the problem we have in church is that we talk too much about taking off the old and putting on the new, changing your habits, and not enough about what's in between, about getting a new heart and a new spirit. And I'm really concerned that our kids are growing up in the church with the idea that what God is concerned about is you get rid of those habits and you get some new habits. What God's concerned about is that renewing of the mind, that sense that things are new for me. There are young people in this church who need to be baptized. And when someone gets baptized, that's a testimony to everyone else to say, what does the Lord think? When I go to bed tonight, what's going to be my excuse for saying I'm born again, but I'm not going to tell anybody about it the way you tell me to? I know I've got my reasons, God, for not doing what you command me to do. That's not right. Baptism is a way of publicly standing up and saying, this is what God's done for me, and I want to tell everybody about it. But all baptism is a statement of intention. This is what I intend to do. What we're looking at in this passage is getting down to the business of doing it. When you're young, everything's out in front of you. You haven't ruined your life. You haven't allowed things to come into your life that others of us had. You haven't wasted enough of your time. I don't know how much time in this world God's given me, but I figure I've used up about half of it so far. And I can't get it back, and I don't want it back. Quite frankly, I wouldn't go back to being a teenager for all the tea in China. I wouldn't do it. I don't even want to go back to being 30 anymore. You know, I'm happy to be where I am, encroaching middle age on the slide. You know, I'm kind of sliding in back and forth. But I'll tell you something. When I was saved when I was young and when I was baptized, nobody sat down and read these rules over with me. Nobody came to me and said, listen, I expect something of you. The church in which I was baptized never acted as a congregation and came to me and said, how you doing? What's your life with the Lord like? What's your prayer life like? Nobody would think, no adult in the church I grew up in would think of walking up to a young person and saying, so how are things with you and the Lord? No adult would think of doing that. We kind of had this unspoken rule, adults with adults and young people with young people. Luke just joined our church. Luke is an equal. He doesn't vote in the church, but he's an equal member of this church. We depend on what he puts into us, and he's going to need what we put into his life. And I, as a parent, I'll tell you, I really appreciate what the people of this church have done for my family. People of this church can reach my family in ways I never can. And our young people depend on us as a church to care about their spiritual life, to ask them how it's going, to ask them when, as the teens get older. You know how easy it is as a teen to lead that double life? You know, to kind of walk and here's how I am at church, but when I get over here, I do this. It is so easy. And it's so humiliating because deep down inside yourself, you hate yourself when you do that. Well, how about people of the church walking up and saying, hey, I know what that's like. I've been there. How about us walking up to these people and saying, we love that you're part of our midst and can we be an encouragement to you? When we see God working in their life, telling them, not flattery, simple praising God for what we see in their life. And I think that if we want to see our young people understanding how to walk, it doesn't come from the pulpit. It comes from you. And the impact that you can have on the life of our young people is enormous. And it's an opportunity that shouldn't be missed. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I just don't know why things that are so simple become so difficult for us to do. You give us such opportunity to escape the rotten foolishness that we see just sweeping people up all around us. And I would pray, Father, that we would love you for that, that people would be able to look at our lives and say, there is someone who has escaped this world and the foolishness of it. I pray, Father, especially tonight for Luke, I pray that what he has done might be a testimony. Father, that the intentions of his heart, the things that you've done in his life, that he wants to move forward, cause us to fulfill our responsibilities towards him. Cause us to show what a wonderful, tremendous, fulfilling life it is to walk with our Savior. I pray, Father, that you might bless us as we seek to be holy. I pray, Father, that we might be able to show our young people what a wonderful thing it is to lead a pure life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.